If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, you guys. Welcome to another episode of my podcast, Things Could Be Worse. I'm your host, Bailey Diedrich. And if you're watching visually today, if you're watching this episode visually, you might be like, oh my gosh, it looks like you just got done crying. Yeah, it's because I just got done crying. I'm emotional as hell right now. I was about to say, I don't know what's up with me, but I know it's my period. I'm on my period. It's day one of my period. The last couple of days have been emotional for me, usually leading up to my period, like the 3 days before my period. I get super emotional. I get angry. Like, that is when the mood swings and stuff are the craziest and like the most intense. So I've been really emotional the last couple of days, and I feel like I haven't really let it out. Like, usually I have like a good cry right before my period, and I didn't do that this month. So I actually just cried now, and I think it's just because I have like built up emotions that I haven't dealt with. And you know, it's so shitty being a girl, because it's like I feel these emotions, like I feel so sad right now, and I also feel pissed off at the same time. But it's like, why? Like, why do I feel that way? Because I don't even know. Like, I know there's stuff going on. There's like stressors in my life, but like, why do I feel that way? And then it's like, oh, it's because you're on your period. And then it's like, oh, well, why? And it's like, oh, it's because of your hormones. And it's like, why? Like, none of these are answers. Like, why do I have to feel this way? Just because my uterine lining is fucking tearing itself out of my body. You know what I mean? Like, it's just unfair. So this episode is going to be about being a girl and how it's sometimes really sucky. It's kind of just going to be a girl talk. I had you guys ask me questions. I posted on the Things Could Be Worse pod Instagram. I was like, I'm pissed off. I'm on my period and I want to cry. Like, ask me questions relating to periods. Just like, ask me questions about being a girl. So this is pretty much a girl talk, but I also kind of want to talk about a little housing update, a little apartment update, because I toured my first apartment today. And I know I've talked a little bit about not even apartment hunting, because that just started today, but I've talked a little bit about why I want to move out of my parents' house, why I am kind of looking for my own place, and like why I think it's going to help me. I feel like I've talked about it in a few different episodes now, so I don't want to be like a broken record and like tell that whole story again. But if you don't know, if you haven't tuned into the other episodes, basically, I just am feeling really creatively uninspired right now when it comes to like social media and creating YouTube videos and even like the podcast. Like, I feel like I haven't had any inspiration, and every single week I'm like, okay, I have to record a podcast, and it's like, what do I talk about? And like, nothing is coming to me creatively. And it's like, I don't even know what to do, because it makes me sad, not only because it's like my job, like I have to post videos, I have to do the pod, I mean, I don't have to do the podcast because I don't really make money on the podcast. I make like a tiny little bit, but nothing crazy. Like, I could quit the podcast if I wanted to. That's the point I'm trying to get at. I don't want to quit. I love doing the podcast. I love YouTube. I love making TikToks. I love all of it. Like, it used to bring me so much joy. Like, that's why I'm doing this. And lately it hasn't felt joyful. It hasn't felt fun. It feels just like a chore. It feels like work. And that is so scary, because the second that this turns into work, it's going to be like miserable. And I want to get back to the point where this is so much fun for me and I love doing this. Like, right now I'm having fun. Like, I love this. I'm not forcing myself to do this by any means. But all I'm saying is, lately, I don't know, it's probably seasonal freaking depression. It's probably seasonal, you know, changes that are happening. It's like, okay, the winter hits and all of a sudden I have no motivation. Like, that seems to be a correlation, right? But also, I just think that I'm at the point in my life where I need to move on to a next step. Like, I need a next step. I need something to look forward to. I need something, you know, I need something. And I've tried the traveling route, like, oh, let me just plan a trip and like look forward to that. But it's like, the trip is amazing. It fulfills me. It gives me life experience. It gives me memories. It gives me a fun time. But then I come home and everything is the exact same. So I feel like I need to switch up my home. I love this house that I'm living in. It's my dad's house. It's great. I have two rooms. Like, I have so much space. It's not about the space. Like, I don't need more space. It's more just like, I want to feel independent and I want it to be my space. Like, I want to know that this is like my space. So like, I want an apartment because I want to decorate the living room how I want, and I want it to be like a good, happy space for me. I work from home. I do all of my, like, I literally don't even leave my house unless I have plans with friends. I have plans with my boyfriend. I have an appointment. I have errands to run. I don't leave the house unless I have to. I don't like wake up every single day and go to school. I don't wake up every single day and go to work. Like, that's not what I do. That's not how my life works. So I need to make sure that I'm like happy in my space. And it seems dramatic, like maybe just like redo your room, bitch. Like, you don't need to move. But then it's like, I don't know. I don't even know what I want, you guys. I don't want to sit here and like bore you with my like literal existential crisis, but I don't know what to do. I have been like debating this, going back and forth for a really long time, and it's just nothing is becoming more clear. Like, the more I think about it, the more confused I get on what I want. But I just decided to go tour an apartment today just because, you know, maybe that would, if I got there and I was like, okay, can I see myself living here? Can I see myself being like alone in this apartment, like having my space? Or like, am I walking into this apartment and being like, I could never imagine myself here? Like, that was kind of the vibe I was trying to grab. And I think I kind of grabbed a vibe, but I'm also still not completely sure. So basically, I've kind of been looking and saving apartments on my apartments.com app for the last couple of months. And I narrowed it down to 5 apartments. Originally, 2 of them got back to me. I emailed all of them like saying that I wanted to set up a tour and stuff. 2 of them got back to me and said that they don't have any apartments available. They're all leased up. So I kind of crossed those off and I was left with 3 options. I reached out to 3 of them. All 3 of them got back to me, but one of them is like not setting up a showing. Like, they haven't gotten back to me about setting up a showing, but one of them was today. One of them is for tomorrow. And then one of the apartments that originally got back to me and said that they didn't have availability, it said to me today, they sent a text and they were like, we have somebody moving out in the beginning of April and there's a 1-bedroom available. So I'm going to go look at that one on Friday. And I'm really excited for that one because I was so sad when they said that they had no availability, because it's honestly the cheapest one and it looks really freaking nice. Like, it looks as nice as the other ones, but it's cheaper, like not significantly, but it's one of the cheaper ones. I think the cheapest one actually that I found that I liked. So that's kind of fun. I'm actually going and like seeing these apartments and stuff now and trying to see if I could see myself there. The one today, it's a brand new building. They literally aren't even done like decorating the inside of it, like all of the common areas. He was like explaining to us, he was like, well, right here when you walk in, like there's gonna be couches and we're gonna have like a few different desks and computer places to like work if you want to like get out of your apartment and come down. And then there's like other stuff, but like none of it was there. It was still just like kind of, you know, you could tell it was like just built. So that kind of is nice because it's like a brand new building. Nobody's ever lived in these apartments before. It's a fresh start for me, but it's also a fresh start for this building. It's just like new energy. It's just, it felt really good walking in there. That's also assuring because you know everything is gonna work because it's like brand new and it's not like damaged and stuff. And also like when you're moving into apartments, you know, you can be kind of iffy about like mold. Like there can be like mold in the shower that they like paint over. Like I've heard horror stories about apartments, so it's kind of nice that everything is brand new. There was a bunch of apartments that are open, a bunch of different layouts, and he showed us all of them. He showed us the 1-bedroom options, and then he also showed us 2 of the 2-bedroom options, and I love the 2-bedroom ones, bro. They're so much like bigger and more spacious, but like I cannot do that. Like I could do that, but I'm not gonna do that because that would be like irresponsible as shit unless I could find a roommate. But I don't even want a roommate because the whole point is that I want to live alone so that I can like have my freedom to like film and not have other people in my way and just like have my own space that's mine. You know what I mean? And if I have a roommate, it's not my space. So the first one that he showed us, I went with my brother, by the way, when I'm saying us, me and Noah went. And the first one we walked into, I literally immediately fell in love with. I was like, okay, this one, I'll take it. It was really open. Like the kitchen was like connected to the living room, but there was like an island separating it. I really want an island. Like that is like a main thing for me, which might sound like so petty and dramatic, like bitch, you don't need an island, but I really want an island for filming purposes. And I know it sounds stupid, but like it makes sense to me. The bedroom was a decent size, I guess, for an apartment. It was not, like, it was definitely small, especially compared to my bedroom here. Like, I have a huge bedroom. I think my bedroom is literally the size of my dad's master bedroom. Like, it is a really big bedroom. I have, like, 20-foot ceilings in my room, which is crazy. I actually don't even, like, acknowledge that. My ceiling is so freaking tall. Like, it's awesome. Why am I like sitting here like convincing myself that I like shouldn't move? Like I'm literally doing that subconsciously. Anyways, the room was a decent size. The bathroom was really nice. There was laundry in unit. There was a nice walk-in closet. It was a great, great apartment. I really like it. That is definitely like, I could see myself living there. It had nice big windows with like natural light coming in. Super cute. He showed me a few different one bedrooms after that, but they were all like the smaller layout and none of them had an island, and the kitchen is kind of just like on one of the walls of the living room. Like it gave very much like hotel kitchenette vibes to me. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I really want an island because I want separation between the kitchen and the living room. And I also don't want to have to pay for a kitchen table or worry about fitting a kitchen table in an already pretty small space. So I think instead of having a kitchen table, being able to have an island would be so much nicer, because it's like, I don't need a kitchen table if I have an island. Like I'm not going to be hosting dinner parties at my apartment. I might have like a few friends over, but then it's like, okay, just eat at the counter or eat on my couch. Like it's not that deep. So yeah, that's how apartment touring went today. I'm gonna keep looking. I have a few different showings set up and I hope to get another one set up because I want to keep my options open. And also the one that I looked at today was very pricey. Like I would like to find something a couple $100 cheaper than what that was. But yeah, I don't know. I think it went well. It was really exciting to actually like decide to go do, like I've been talking about it for so long. It was really exciting to actually go and see an apartment. So yeah, I'll keep you guys updated on how the rest of the showings go this week. And yeah, I think I'm gonna get into my emotionalness and my period now, because fuck this. So yeah, not been doing the greatest today in the last couple of days. It's just like literally an up and down. Like I'm on, you know that one game, I don't know if you guys ever played it, it was like a bird, or was it a bird, or was it, I don't know, you would like hold down on the screen and it would like go over these sand dune hills and like you would like release it to let it go up and then it would go back down. That's how I feel. Like my emotions are literally just like hills and valleys or whatever it's called. Like I just am going up and down, and I'm sick of it because I don't understand why I can't just feel stable. Like why can I not just feel like good? You know what I mean? Like, is that really too much for a girl to ask? I was sitting in my bed and I saw this quote on my friend's story. I screenshotted it because I kind of want to talk about it, because they were like, really, this episode is going to be weird. Sorry, y'all. I hope you guys gained something from it. I think it'll be interesting, but it's just going to be all over the place. There really isn't a theme here. I was just talking about apartment hunting and now I'm talking about quotes. So we'll see what happens. So the quote is, keep your empathy, but protect your energy. Period. This, like, I read this and I kind of got emotional about it because I was like, wow, like that hit me. Keep your empathy, but protect your energy. I feel so often that I find myself being so consumed with trying to help others and like be there for others and like be somebody, like be a shoulder for somebody to cry on, that like I find myself slipping into this like negative space, if that makes sense. Like I really don't want to like talk too much about what I'm thinking about right now, because I feel like it's just like I shouldn't say it because I don't want anybody to be able to figure out what I'm talking about. But like there's this person in my life and I love them so much. This person sometimes is like a really negative person and they always have something going on with themselves and they're always kind of bringing it to everybody else. Like they're always, I just hit the mic stand. I'm sorry. I always do that because I talk with my hands and there's this freaking pole here. I don't know what to do. I think I need to figure something else out, like a different setup, because I literally am always punching this thing. Anyways, they're always like dealing with like problems and then they're always bringing them to me or other people, and I don't know what they want out of that. Like, do they want just like somebody to hear them out, or do they want solutions, or do they want, you know, what do they want out of it? Because it's so hard. Like, I feel like I'm never good enough. I don't know. I'm not sitting here like, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, I'm not saying that. I don't want your pity. I'm just saying I feel like I can't give them what they want. And I feel like that's because they don't even know what they want when they're bringing all of these like problems to everybody all the time. Like, I don't know how to help you when you've texted me the same thing 45 times this week. Like, I don't know what to say anymore. I've said all that I can say. Like, what do you want me to say? I can't help you. Help yourself. All I'm trying to get at is I'm the type of person that like wants to be there for people, and I want to be able to help people when they're struggling, because obviously like I care so much about them. But it gets to a point where it feels like I'm being dragged into that, and I'm worrying too much about the way that they're feeling and like whatever they're going through, that I'm also like second-handedly putting myself through that, even though it should be so far removed from me. Like, I shouldn't even really be like that consumed with it at this point in my life. Like, I wish the best for them, and I want them to be able to live like a happy, productive, good life. Like, I don't want them to be struggling. Obviously, that's the last thing that I want. But like, there's only so much I can do, and it feels like I'm draining myself trying to always like be there for this person. So I read this quote, and it kind of made me a little bit emotional. And I also just wanted to like read that quote to you guys, because if you guys also find yourself always trying to like help people and fix people and like put other people before yourself, stop it. Like, stop it. You need to protect your energy. You need to like take care of yourself first. It's literally like the airplane oxygen mask analogy. Like, before every single flight, the flight attendant gets on the speaker and they walk through all of the different safety precautions, and they always say, make sure to put your oxygen mask on before helping others put their mask on. That right there is literally like an analogy for life. Put your own oxygen mask on. Help yourself before helping others. Like, make sure you're okay. Make sure you have the mental capacity to deal with other people's problems. Like, you need to make sure that you're dealing with your own, and you have the capability of taking care of yourself before others. And I think I've gotten a lot better at that over the years, but I'm still not great at it. And I can find myself kind of slipping into this like negative space because I'm trying to help people that are in a negative space, and then I kind of get dragged down with them. So that's a good quote. Another quote that I found on that same page that also is kind of similar is, do not let your empathy impede on your self-respect or rob people of experiencing the consequences of their actions. So again, this kind of goes with like what I just said, like the empathy thing. Like, be empathetic, like try to help people, be there for people, but also like you can't just be there because like they're your friend. Like, if they're going through something and you feel it's your responsibility to help them because you're supposed to, like you're supposed to be there for them because you're supposed to be friends with them, but if the things that they're complaining about or the things that they're going through, like they're not taking responsibility for, or like they have some part in it, or they're not doing their part in it, like they're not trying to help themselves, they're just coming to you and like expecting help, don't do that. Like, don't let people walk all over you. Don't let people just assume you're always going to be there for them. You're going to drop everything in your life and, you know, be there for them, because that's not okay. And that's terrible for us as people. So those are two little quotes that I thought I would share. I don't know why I decided to do that. Oh, I decided to do that because that was the first thing that kind of got me emotional. I was like, damn, not even emotional, but it just like hit me. And I was like, damn, that's facts. That's facts. That's facts. And then I went on TikTok real quick just to see, I don't know, see something, I guess. And I saw a BoJack Horseman, or I watched a TikTok on my For You page, and it was to a BoJack Horseman audio. And I'll play the audio for you guys, because this also surprisingly kind of goes hand in hand with what I was literally just talking about, which I didn't even realize the two were connected. They're literally directly connected. Okay, I'll play the audio.
I was hurt, but then I realized that's just how you are. You know, maybe I just need to stop expecting you to be a good person, so that way I won't get hurt when you're... I was hurt.
Yeah, sir, that got me in my feels on top of the other thing, because I was already thinking about, like, pouring myself into others and like not filling my own cup, and then that hits me, and I'm like, okay, maybe I need to stop expecting these people to, like... Whatever. You get the point. You get the point I'm trying to get at. That's kind of what set me off on this emotional little thing. But now I want to answer your guys' questions about being a girl and having a period and anything that you guys are wondering. First question, be honest. How often do you wash your bras? Because I really don't. I've seen a bunch of TikToks about this. I don't think that you need to wash your bra every single time you wear it. And I also don't think you're supposed to. And I also don't think any of us do. I probably will wear my bra like 4 or 5 times without washing it, which might sound gross. And I honestly think it is kind of gross, but also I feel like we all do it, and you can't be washing your bra. Like, it, first of all, if you wash a bra that much, it's gonna like fall apart. Like, most of my bras are like, they're expensive from like Victoria's Secret, but they're like not made of quality, I don't think. So like, first of all, it'll fall apart if I wash it every single time I wear it. Second of all, I have like two favorite bras that I rotate between. Like, I want to wear a, like, I don't want to wear these like uncomfortable bras that I have just because they're cute. Like, for a special occasion, like maybe I'll pop out and like wear a cute bra, even though nobody sees it. Like, wearing cute bras, like having cute bras is like so pointless. I guess if you have like a boyfriend, it's not, but also like, I don't even care when it comes to that. It's like more for myself. Like, when I put on like a matching little like underwear and bra set, I'm like, oh my gosh, my life is so put together. I feel so like cool. But yeah, I have two main bras, I would say two or three. No, probably two. Two main bras that are like the comfiest bras. They're my favorite bras. And I just rotate those. I just flip-flop and I wear them like multiple times. So you're not alone. You're not alone. Make sure that you wash it sometimes though, because it can definitely get to a point where it's like literally gross. Someone said, what's your go-to food to eat when you're on your period? Weird thing, guys. Weird thing. I hear a lot of girls say that they eat a lot more on their period and they have like all of these cravings. And I definitely get cravings. Like, I don't even know what an example would be. Like, it's very niche. Like, it depends the day, whatever I'm craving when I'm on my period. But like, people say that they eat so much on their periods. And I am like the opposite. I have no appetite when I'm on my period. I rarely feel hungry. I don't know if it's because like my stomach hurts and I just feel like bloated and crampy that like I don't feel like eating, but I like don't have an appetite. Like, I don't go all out and like indulge on my period. Like, I do that all other times. Like, I'm always eating a lot, but like when I'm on my period, it's like the one time that like I don't have any appetite. Like right now, like, I don't want to like promote anything unhealthy because I am going to go downstairs and eat like a fat meal after this because I already know what I'm going to make and it sounds good. But like, I have not, it's like 7 p.m. and I have not eaten much today. Like, I think I had like maybe one meal, and like usually I eat three meals a day. So like, that's not good for me. So honestly, my go-to food to eat when I'm on my period, I always seem to crave Chick-fil-A on my period, which sounds weird, but I think that I get Chick-fil-A every time I'm on my period, and that's just my go-to food. But also, like, I love warm foods, like a soup. I guess that kind of goes hand in hand with like being sick, like being period, being on your period and being sick is like kind of similar, which is kind of crazy. We're just like casually sick once a month because our body is like just ill. You know what I mean? That's kind of crazy. But yeah, I don't really have a specific food. Let me know in the comments if you guys are watching on YouTube. Do you guys have like a specific food that you like to eat when you're on your period? Someone said, have you ever had any scares if you and Leo are intimate? Genuinely asking girl to girl, LOL. Honestly, no. I don't think I ever have, which I'm very grateful for. Let me quickly knock the fuck out of that wood. Somebody said, would you and Sadie ever move together? I feel like you guys talk about the same situation. Me and Sadie definitely relate on so many different aspects in life. Like, we are constantly talking about things and it feels like I'm just talking to a mirror. Like, everything that she always is saying or complaining about, not saying she like complains all the time, but if we're like ranting to each other about whatever's going on in our lives, everything that she says to me, I'm literally like, wow. Exactly, like, how did you read my mind? Like, we feel so similar in so many aspects, and I feel like we're kind of both at like a weird point with what we do, like, social media wise. We both do very similar things on social media and are very like active on social media, but at the same time we're very removed from social media. And what I mean by that is, neither of us, she definitely has like a lot of friends that do social media and stuff, but I feel like she doesn't really like love that life. Like, yes, once in a while it's great to like link up. I'm actually gonna jump out my window now. Why did I just say link up? I was on like a roll, then I said link up. I hate myself. Once in a while it is nice to hang out with, you know, the people that I've met in social media, and same goes, I don't want to speak for her, but like, I feel like we kind of feel the same way. Like, once in a while it's great to go to festivals or go to events and like see other people that do the same thing as you and that you've made these relationships with and like you are friends with. Like, that is, I'm not saying like people aren't friends here, but all I'm saying is I feel like me and Sadie both see eye to eye when we say we want like a very normal life. We aren't, you know, completely obsessed with this idea of, you know, like the influencer lifestyle, the whatever these TikTokers are doing, whatever these other YouTubers are doing. That lifestyle is cool. And I used to think that I wanted it. Like, I just wanted to be, you know, going to events all the time and just hanging out with other famous people, quote unquote famous people, and all this stuff. But like, the older I've gotten, the more I've realized, like, I just want to live as normal of a life as possible while posting on social media and being able to make a living off of it. Like, that is what I care about. I want to live a normal ass life because I'm a normal ass girl and I don't care about all of this clout shit and this like fame stuff. And I feel like a lot of people in social media and a lot of the people that I've even met, I like them and they're cool people and they're great to be around and they're fun, but it seems like their priorities just aren't the same as mine, and that means that we really could never be amazing friends, just because, you know, you can't be best friends with somebody where you guys just have completely different priorities in life. Like, you care about how many views you're getting on your Snapchat story, where I care about like making genuine friendships and having people that like I feel so good around, if that makes sense. I'm not bashing anybody here and I'm not like alluding to anybody in particular, but that's just kind of what I'm saying, I guess. And I feel like Sadie kind of feels the same way. Like, she also has agreed, like, she wants to live a very, so we see, I don't even know why I'm getting so in depth in this, we see eye to eye on so many different situations, and we're kind of both, you know, living in our parents' house, our friends are in school, we are at home a lot, we don't really know what direction we want to take our lives right now, and we both kind of want some new source of independence. She's talked about moving, she's talked about wanting to go and travel different places. So yes, we are very similar. We talk about a lot of the same stuff and like we're in a lot of the same situations. However, going back to the whole like roommate thing that I was talking about, like, I think that would take away from what I actually want, which sounds weird. Like, I think living with her would be so much fun. We would have so, like, literally the best time together. I think I could totally live with her. And, you know, I'm not, like, crossing that out of the box, like, ever. Like, I'm not gonna say, like, oh, I'm never gonna live anywhere with Sadie. Like, totally would love that someday, like, if it worked out. But she lives in Florida. I'm not thinking about moving to Florida, at least yet. I would love to at some point. I think it would be awesome. I would literally love to do that. But she definitely is not moving to Wisconsin, and I'm not moving to Florida right now. So, not right now. And also, I feel like what I was trying to get at is, like, we both need our space. And when you do social media and, like, you're filming YouTube videos and recording podcasts all the time, it almost feels like the only option is to live alone. Because it's, like, it's so hard to film stuff when other people are in the house and, like, they can hear you. Like, right now I'm recording this podcast knowing damn well my dad is probably, like, listening through the air vent into his room. You know what I mean? Like, it's just inevitable. Like, he can hear me, and, like, part of it is just, like, oh, I don't like that. Or, like, if I were to go down to the kitchen right now and, like, I was vlogging and I wanted to, like, make a little snack. And then, like, my dad and my brother are sitting in the living room. It's, like, I'm not going to film because it's, like, awkward when other people are around. And I'm not saying I'm, like, awkward filming in front of Sadie. But, like, if we were trying to, like, record our podcast or film a video and, like, the other person's just, like, chilling on the couch, it just is, like, ugh. I don't know if any of this is making sense. That was a lot of yapping for no reason. I feel like we never really got anywhere. I'm just going to move on to the next question. My ex is spreading rumors I cheated, but I didn't. I'm so fucking mad and I don't know what to do. That is so terrible. Oh, gosh. See, I hate that so much because, like, cheating is such a horrible thing to do. And for somebody to just, like, make that up about you and, like, start spreading that, I wish I knew, like, does he actually think you cheated, or is he, like, he knows damn well you didn't cheat and he's just saying that to, like, throw dirt on your name. Part of me wants to be like, go beat that dude's ass, like, actually fuck him. But also part of me is like, you can't control what other people are gonna say and think about you, and you're not going to prove to everybody that you're innocent in any, like, this goes for any situation, any type of rumor being spread about you, or anytime people are talking shit, you're never going to, you know, please everyone. You're never gonna get everybody to believe you or to prove that you're a good person to everybody. So don't waste all of your time trying to prove that you did do something or that you didn't do something or that you're innocent. Like, don't waste your time trying to prove to people who, like, don't matter. I know it sucks, but things come and go very quickly, especially, like, when you're young, whether you're in high school or college. Like, rumors, there's always rumors. Things get forgotten really quickly, because soon there's going to be a new rumor that people are talking about and people are going to forget about it. I know it's a really shitty rumor, and it really sucks when you care a lot about like your own like integrity, or you have a lot of integrity, or you, I don't know, like I pride myself on my integrity and like my loyalty and being a good girlfriend and like having respect for people. So if people started saying that I was a cheater, I would be fucking pissed, because that's like attacking my integrity versus attacking me as like, if somebody was saying like, oh, I'm ugly, like that's attacking me in a different way, and I couldn't care less if somebody thought I was ugly or saying that I was ugly. But when you're let me reset, take a deep breath. Sorry. If you are attacking my character or my integrity, that's when I get pissed. So I feel you, girl. I completely understand like why you're so upset, like so valid in that. But I will say, like, you're never going to please everybody. You're never going to be able to like get everybody to believe you, which is shitty. And I know it's shitty and it sucks to hear that advice, but don't spend your every waking minute trying to prove that you didn't cheat on him, because it's not worth it. People are going to forget about it and everybody's going to move on, and you're going to be able to move on, and he's going to get over himself and learn that he's shitty. And honestly, karma's going to get his ass. Anytime that I started a rumor about somebody, not saying I started a bunch of rumors about people, but like, you know, my petty ass in middle school, I've talked about how I was a little raging bitch. Anytime I said something about somebody, that shit came right the fuck back to me and got me, bit me in the ass and, you know, kicked me to the ground. So karma's gonna get his ass. Don't worry about him. Focus on yourself. Just be a good person, but don't spend too much time trying to prove that you're a good person or that you didn't do what they're saying that you did. Somebody said, how much clingy, in quotations, is too clingy in a relationship? I don't really like this question because I feel like it's really subjective. Like, some relationships are super like inherently clingy, and like they're both super clingy, and like, you know, they always want to be together, they never want to be separated. Every single time somebody goes somewhere, the other person has to, and they're both okay with that, and that's the way that their relationship works, and that's the way that they like it. That voice crack, bro. Every damn time. Like, why am I literally a teenage boy going through puberty? Like, my voice cracks so much, and I don't know why. This question is very subjective, but I will say very broadly the way that I kind of, like, I don't know, see this in my own relationship and how I've been able to kind of just, like, release. I don't know. I don't even know if that actually makes sense now that I'm thinking about what I'm saying. I don't know. I'll say this. If you or the other person, your partner, is not able to have a life outside of you, that would be too clingy, in my opinion. It also can come across as controlling, and those two things can definitely coexist. If you're in a relationship, I'm gonna say it in terms of like my relationship, just so I can like give easy examples. These are not true examples. This is not real. This is hyperbole, not hyperbole. This is hypothetical. Say my boyfriend wants to go hang out with his friends one night. He's like, hey, Bailey, like, can I go hang out with my friends? They're all watching football, you know, Thursday night football, and I want to be with the boys and I want to play Fortnite. And I was like, oh no, like, I didn't let him. If I was like a little bitch and I didn't let him, and I was like, the only way you can go is like if I come with you. Wait, this is just controlling. I don't even think this is clingy. Is that clingy? Okay, wait, let me take it. I don't even know what clingy means. I guess that is part of it. Like, I didn't let him, or I did let him go, but then like I'm texting him the entire time, like, you know, waiting for his reply. Like, I want him to give me his attention and energy, even though I am like not with him and he's doing something that he wants to do with his friends in his own life. I think a big thing is just being a good judge on like, are you guys giving each other enough space to be independent? It is so important to also have your independence in a relationship. Yes, you guys can love each other. You guys can spend every waking minute with each other if you want, but there is still part of you that needs to have a separate life away from your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whoever you're dating. You need to have friends of your own. You need to spend time with family without your partner. You need to do all of these things like without your partner. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just have everything in your life revolve around this one single person. You need your own life and vice versa. Your partner needs their own life. So long story short, I feel like it's too clingy when one of the people in the relationship feels as though they can't live a life outside of the other person without constantly, you know, needing to be checked on or, you know, seeing what they're doing. Does that make sense? I don't know if this is making sense. I think if you're too worried about being clingy, you just have to take a step back and be like, okay, am I being too clingy? Like, you can tell. You can tell, like, are you letting this person go and, like, have their fun and, like, you know, maybe they don't answer for a few hours, God forbid. That's okay. That means that they're living their life. They can do that. They don't have to be on their phone texting you every waking minute. Let them have their fucking life. You have yours. Come together at the end type of thing. Should I use soap down there during my period? So I hear so many mixed opinions about using soaps and like feminine washes and stuff down there. I'm not a gynecologist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. I don't know what I'm talking about. But from my own research and personal experience and, you know, the crazy amount of girl talks that I have done on social media, like whether it be my YouTube channel or here on the podcast, I've done so many girl talk videos and like talked about so many different topics like periods, sex, vaginal things, everything, shaving, razor bumps, everything, right? I've learned a lot from researching to answer your guys' questions and try to give advice and like, you know, educate myself as well. So I feel like I have a good idea of the answer to this question, but I also, again, I'm not a doctor. Don't take like medical advice because I feel like this is a medical topic, kind of. But also, no, it's not. It's literally like a hygiene topic. I'm just trying not to like get myself like, I'm not trying to be like, oh my gosh, guys, I'm struggling. Using soap down there is okay, despite what you might hear people say, like, oh my gosh, Vagisil, like it messes your pH balance. Yes, it does. There are bad soaps and there are good soaps. I think it depends on how sensitive you are down there. Like if you use a soap and all of a sudden you feel like your pH balance is thrown off, you're having like weird, like, dischargey symptoms, you're having like, you can tell when your pH balance is off. It's very normal for your pH to be thrown off. Like it happens to girls all of the time. So I think when we're talking about using a wash or a soap down there, it's very important to understand if you're sensitive, if you're not sensitive, and then also look into finding a good soap. Do your own research. I really like the V Gentle soap. I don't even know what it's called or what the brand is, but all I know, if you type in VEE Gentle, VEE Gentle, yeah, it's V with two E's, Gentle, feminine wash. It's basically like an apple cider vinegar wash, and apple cider vinegar has like the same, not the same pH balance as your, because that would mean that you have a very acidic. Am I allowed to say? I don't know. Ew, I hate that word. Ew. Oh my gosh, I say that word as like, I'm calling my brother, like say my brother does something funny or whatever, we're making a joke and I'll say you're a pussy, but actually referring to your vagina as a that actually just made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. I don't know why I said that. I normally don't say that. Don't cancel me. Forgive me, please. Something about the apple cider vinegar, it's really good for you. And then also like, I don't know. You just need like a pH balancing wash. Make sure you're not using anything scented. You're not using anything that like lathers too much. That's another thing that I've noticed. My soap that I use, my wash that I personally use down there, just because I like to use it. I like to feel extra fresh. I know people say water gets the job done, but also like water doesn't get the job done anywhere else. Why would water get the job done down there? You don't wash your hands with water. You don't wash your feet with water. You don't wash your hair, your hands, did I already say that? I don't know, like, why is water enough just down there, especially when there's, like, all of that extra, like, there's shit coming out of your ass. You're telling me you're not washing that with soap? Weird to me. I get it, though, like, I've heard gynecologists say, like, my gynecologist has told me all you need to use is warm water. So I'm confused. To me, it just doesn't make sense. I like to use a wash, but I use a good wash. It's the V Gentle. It's pH balancing. It has never caused me any issues. It doesn't lather up too much, which tells me that there isn't like a bunch of like chemicals and sulfates. And I don't even know what makes soap lather up, but it feels like very like gentle. That's why it's called The Gentle. So when it comes to using a wash down there on your period, I like to. You don't have to, but also I feel like you should. The Dove unscented soap bars I heard are okay for down there. I don't like saying you should or should not do something just because if somebody chooses not to, I don't want to call them like unhygienic or say that they're dirty. But for me personally, if I'm on my period, I'm definitely using a soap down there. But I've talked about this in other girl talks, but I want to reiterate it because it can be literally make or break when it comes to this. Don't put soap in there anywhere near, like, don't get soap like actually like in your vagina or even like on top of like your vagina. Damn. Hi, grandma. Hi, dad. Like, I always be getting myself into such weird topics during these episodes. So get it like around, you know, like the vulva. Wash your vulva, but don't wash your vagina. And I hope you know the difference if you're a female. Okay? Too much info. Too much information. I would say yes, but you do you, baby. Why do females feel the need to bully other females or make things up and spread it around? This is a really good question. I wish that, actually, I do know the answer, and it all boils down to insecurity and jealousy. People, happy people, secure people, people that are, you know, okay with themselves, they don't make things up and bully other people or spread rumors or talk shit. This goes for guys and girls. I mean, girls are definitely a lot more drama oriented. They're a lot more, I don't know, girls are definitely more frequently shit talking, starting rumors, things like that. But guys can also do that. Don't worry. And guys bully. It all boils down to insecurity. And when you're like, that can't be it, because like literally every single girl talks shit, every single girl is insecure. Anytime, unless somebody like really did something wrong, like I am talking shit because somebody affected another person in a horrible way or somebody did a bad thing that I'm talking shit about. It's not like I'm talking shit about her care, or no, I'm not talking shit about like the way that she looks or like what she's doing. I'm talking shit about the person that she is. Like, she is a bad person. She did XYZ to my friend. That's why I'm talking about it. That type of shit talking is fine. It's still not good. Like, just like take that shit somewhere else. Take the negativity, put it somewhere else. You don't need to talk about it. You're not involved. Even if you are involved, uninvolve yourself. If I think back to any time that I was talking shit about a girl for no reason, like they didn't actually do anything or they did something so insignificant or like minor that like I don't even need to be like thinking about it or talking about it, but I'm choosing to talk shit or I'm hating on her or I'm saying things about her, I'm even just thinking things about her to myself. Anytime that I did that, which by the way, hasn't been in a while, it was back when I was insecure, back when I didn't realize that, you know, we project our insecurities onto others. So back when I was, you know, talking my little shit, every single girl that I was saying things about, I was jealous of them. They had a fatter ass than me. They had longer hair than me. They were smarter than me. They had a boyfriend and I didn't. They had more expensive clothes. They had cooler shoes. They had XYZ that I didn't have. And I was jealous. And that is why I talk shit, because I was a jealous little insecure bitch. So yeah, moral of the story, girls are mean because they're insecure. And a lot of people, believe it or not, never grow out of this. They never grow out of this. You would be so surprised. Like, I mean, you guys have probably seen it in your own lives. You would be surprised the drama in some of these mothers, like not my friend, but like people my age's mothers. In drama, like, it never goes away. Like, girls, I hate to like not be a girl's girl or be like girls suck, like I actually hate girls. I don't hate girls, I love girls, but some people never grow out of it. There are moms, there are grandmas that still consume their daily lives talking shit about other girls and whatever, and it's because they're insecure. Unless they were hurt by this person, or they're, you know, if you're, there's validity. Oh my gosh, you guys, I can't speak. There is validity in talking shit when it's necessary, and I'll stand the fuck behind that. If somebody does you dirty, talk your shit. I mean, you don't need to like be all dramatic about it, but like you're okay if you want to rant about it to your friend or whatever, that's okay. But there are grandmas, there are mothers, there are aunts, there are sisters, that are just talking shit at their old grown ages because they're insecure and jealous. And it's sad that some people never grow out of that. I feel like I've gone to the point, even being only 18 years old, I feel like I've gone to the point where I'm able to register the fact that, like, if people are talking about someone and I think about, like, I have a negative thought about them for a second, I am able to usually, like, figure out, is this a valid thought that I'm having? Like, did this person really do something wrong? Or am I just, like, low-key jealous of this person and I want to chime in on the shit-talking? And if I realize that I'm just, like, jealous or I'm insecure about my own self, then I take a step back and I realize this person, whether they're not around or not, or whether they're around or not, they don't deserve people talking shit about them. Unless they do, then talk your shit again. But, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I've gotten a lot, like, really, really good. Like, I haven't talked probably shit about shit. I don't know. Okay. We're moving on. Someone says, does cranberry actually make it taste good or just so I don't get infections and such? LOL. I think I have, like, kind of looked into this because I've had this question asked to me in previous girl talks, and, like, maybe I don't even know if I've answered it ever, but when it comes to, like, eating pineapple and drinking cranberry juice and all of that, there is some studies, I believe, this is, again, not a doctor, this is just research maybe that I've seen, or, like, TikTok research, like, this is not, like, scientific, okay? But from what I've seen, there is some research and, like, studies that suggest that, like, what you eat does impact the way that you taste down there because of something. So yes, maybe eating pineapple will make you a little sweeter, but at the end of the day, it's really just, like, have a good diet. Like, eat healthy, eat whole foods, like, eat fruits, eat veggies. That's what's gonna actually alter, like, the way that you taste. Like, if you're eating a bunch of junk food and you're eating, like, a bunch of, like, I don't know what else would, like, make it, like, if you're just eating, like, a bunch of greasy foods, a bunch of fatty foods, you're eating, like, just eat healthy and your body will reflect that. And that's the biggest thing that I can tell you. My camera really stopped recording mid-tangent. I don't really know what I was saying. I don't think that there's any harm in, you know, eating pineapple. Like, pineapple is good for you. Pineapple's a fruit. I think people have seen success with it, so I don't think it's, like, useless to try to do. And then the thing with cranberry juice, I was talking about, like, UTIs and stuff, people say it flushes you out, but when you're doing the cranberry juice thing, make sure it's, like, completely 100% sugarless. If you have any sugar in that, I mean, cranberry juice has natural sugars, but, like, if you get, like, the sweetened cranberry juice, that's not going to do anything for you. You need to drink, like, the pure 100% cranberry juice that, like, tastes like shit. Like, that's what's going to help, and that's what, like, helps people. But also, when it comes down to it, I feel like if you just are eating healthy, that's going to help you so much better, like, help you so much more than, you know, forcing a can of pineapple juice. There's that. But I was gonna say, like, forcing a whole pineapple down your throat, like, before your sneaky link comes over, that's not gonna help as much as just, like, eating a well-balanced, like, healthy diet, you know what I mean? So yeah, yes and no. I think that there's, like, it'll help a little bit, maybe. I don't know. Maybe just, like, look into it, like, research, because I don't know, really. Someone said, is sex painful? No, it shouldn't be. If sex is painful, then you probably should get it checked out or look into it, because I recently heard Meghan Trainor on a podcast. This is so fucking random, but Meghan Trainor, she recently found out that she has something wrong with her vagina. She has, like, some sort of issue with her vag where, like, it it doesn't, like, stretch open like a normal one should. Like, it doesn't dilate. Like, dilate, is that right? I don't know. But yeah, Meghan Trainor said that, I don't even know how old she is, I think she's, like, mid-30s or something, she said that she has been having sex her whole life and it's been painful, and she just thought that that was normal, and she just recently found out that it's not supposed to be painful and that she has something, like, medically wrong with her, and this whole time she thought, like, sex was just painful. And she's been having sex and it's painful and she has a problem. Sex should not be painful. Sex should not be painful at all. If sex is painful, you have something that you need to get checked out. If we're talking about, like, losing your virginity, that can be painful because of the whole, like, cherry popping situation. But, like, after, like, your first or second time, it should not be painful at all. So, yeah, if it's painful, get it checked out because sex shouldn't be painful. okay? I'm gonna end this episode. I barely got through any of the questions because I was yapping so much. Sorry about it. I love you guys. Hopefully I gave you guys some insight. If you asked a question, whether I answered it or not, if I didn't answer it, I'm very sorry, but whether I answered it or not, thank you so much for submitting questions. You guys are the ones that are keeping this freaking podcast moving, because I did not know what I was going to talk about today, and I feel like I actually created a decent episode out of nothing, and it was just all because I'm on my period and emotional, and I thought that maybe you guys wanted to ask me questions about being a girl and being on your period and all of that, even though I didn't even really answer any questions about being on your period. Maybe I did. I don't know. I love you guys. I'll talk to you next Wednesday. Bye.